Welcome to the Inspiration 316 show hosted by John Beaner, founder of Wise Counsel. John shares the inspiring and shocking miracles of how Jesus Christ is changing lives, families, organizations, and nations in this chaotic world. These are the true stories the media won't cover because they defy the shocking bad news they are selling. Stay tuned to be inspired. Today is John Beaner. Thanks for joining us. You're listening to Inspiration 316. We're excited you've joined us. Hey, if you're looking for the bad news, there is bad news out there without question. God said we would have troubles and pains. Well, we're all about the good news, though. The turnaround stories, the things that people, troubles or problems or issues or needs that people have and what God is doing about it, what Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior is offering to us. If we are full of wisdom and knowledge and discernment, we'll gain the insight on how to resolve different issues. If not, there's a purpose for us that's even greater than that. So today's subject is autism. Autism, that is a disease that, I don't know if we should call it disease or not, really a development disorder, they call it, characterized by troubles of social interaction and communication. Rolling eyes, not looking at you anymore, doing little tantrum things. Saw videos of kids going to stores and knocking off shelves and all kinds of disruptive behavior, crying, hitting their head, hitting their legs, whatever they do to ask, kind of spastic, or it's a very disruptive thing, very hard on parents, obviously. Kids barely get sleep at night, some of them. All kinds of different characteristics around autism. Again, that's a tough issue to deal with. A number of people have done certain kinds of trainings. There's had some success with that. Obviously, vitamins help. There is no drugs for it. Thank God. But there are deeper issues and deeper ways to deal with it. And that's the exciting part about it, because God is in the midst of our troubles and needs. There are many people who have overcome autism through understanding the spiritual encounter that's involved there. That means getting spiritual relief. So here's one story by Christian Broadcasting Network, how one prayer healed autism, from Brian and Gina and their son, Ethan. Listen to this story.
When Ethan was born, he was just completely different than our first child.
He would have moments of okay calmness during the day, but at night it was really bad.
Brian and Gina Walden always dreamed of having a family. Their first son, Devin, was a breeze. Their second son, Ethan, was more of a challenge.
It was really bad. He was very, you know, if he fell asleep for 20 minutes and he'd wake up screaming, and then we'd end up in a chair rocking him, and as soon as we fell asleep, Then he kind of quieted down, and as soon as we stopped rocking, he would wake up again screaming.
I would try to get his attention, and he wouldn't look at me. And I would tickle him, I'd smile at him, and I'd bring out the toys, and I would do anything to get him to respond. And he wouldn't.
As Ethan got older, Gina and Brian worried something could be wrong.
He was not able to tell me what was going on. Instead of being able to communicate with me and tell me he was having a hard time or that he didn't feel well, he would just cry, you know, and then he would bite himself. He'd bite himself until he would bleed.
The doctor referred them to a specialist who gave them the news they dreaded.
He said, "I'm sorry to tell you that looks like your son might have autism."
And having the doctor tell me that he had autism was like a kick in the stomach.
It's like the doctor handed us a sign. You know, and here's your sign. This is what you guys are going to have to deal with for the next rest of your life.
One doctor told the Waldens Ethan would probably never speak. So with little help or direction, they began to care for their son. But raising Ethan was exhausting and stressful, and that strained their marriage.
So there's a lot more arguments, a lot more disagreements. I have my thoughts about what we should do. She has her thoughts about what we should do.
Then one night, they realized they were up against something more. Gina says she had a vision of a dark presence in her son's room. She woke up in a panic.
I remember getting up. I ran down my hallway, and I I ran into Ethan's room and I just fell on the floor and I just cried. I cried my eyes out.
I pick her up off the floor and we start talking, and something went off in my mind at that moment and in her mind that said, this fight is as much a spiritual battle as it is a physical battle.
They realized only their faith in God could help them face the challenges of raising their son.
So the next morning I got up and printed out a bunch of Bible verses. I started getting up earlier and praying and seeking God, and then Gina started doing the same thing.
Soon after that, they found an autism specialist, Janelle Esplin.
Looking at Ethan then, he looked like he would be a student that would progress very slowly.
Janelle was also a Christian, and like the Waldens, believed prayer was just as important as therapy. She prayed with the Waldens daily.
We could see that everything we were doing was working, and that he wasn't becoming stagnant, and it didn't look like he was going to become stagnant anytime soon.
Soon, Ethan was making eye contact. He was responsive and seemed to recognize his parents. He still wasn't talking, but that changed one day.
I remember his first word. It was go. And so I would want to hear it all the time because I knew that once we got one word coming out of his mouth, that more was going to come. He was going to learn.
For a while, he would just repeat what he heard. His big brother, Devin, helped him practice by teaching him to pray.
I got him to say, "Dear Jesus, thank you for my parents, bless them, and in the name of Jesus, amen."
Then finally,
we talked. We had our first conversation, and he told me what his favorite color was, and he told me that he loved me. All the things that I had just dreamed of hearing, God was releasing, and it was coming out of his mouth.
He progressed so rapidly that by the time he was 5, he was in a standard kindergarten class.
The only reaction is that God did the miraculous in Ethan's life. God was faithful to them, and that Gina and Brian did everything that they could for their son.
Now he's 9 years old and testing the 99th percentile statewide. He recently won the California Young Scholars Award.
I like hanging out with my friends, hanging out with my mom.
One of his favorite things to do is wrestle with his dad.
Devin joins in and beats me up. My dad goes easy on me because he's really strong.
Today, the Waldens relish the family times they always longed for. Their book, A Brand New Day, shares their journey. More than anything, they say they believe that Ethan's story is a message to those who go through difficult times.
Hang on to God's promises because they're true, and he's faithful, and he's amazing. He's going to use whatever you go through to help someone else and to bring glory to his name.
Again, we're talking about autism. The statistics are pretty high. Back in 2015, we're talking about 25 million kids with autism in the United States. And the number has grown rapidly since the 1960s. They said at one point that was like 1 in 150, and now it's like 1 in every 68 kids is getting autism. And it's, again, it comes on more often. It's not born something you're born with. More often it comes on when you're 2 years old or even 3 or 4 years old. But erratic behavior, it's almost like being a spastic, you know, don't talk anymore or rarely say anything. Don't look you in the eye. A lot of problems sleeping, a lot of problems controlling behavior, difficult situations. Doctors say there is no solution. This is something that he'll live with, you know. That's not true. God has a purpose. He's a healer. Here's another miracle story of how God intervened through Jesus. A couple discovered another word really could cause change in their son. Listen in.
When he was about 3-4 years, he went to school for the first time, and he didn't have any friends, and there was more and more distance between us and him. Mm-hmm. And he was acting very weird.
He could take a lot of pain. That was strange. When he was on the floor and banging with his head on the floor, now we thought that has to be painful for him, but it wasn't.
When Desmond was 5 years old, he was taken to a psychologist who immediately diagnosed him with autism.
But we were not familiar with the terms autism or... So she said, well, to tell you the truth, he is mentally, physical, in all, no matter how you look at him, it's bad. So don't make any hope for the future. Don't make any plans for him for the future. Let's just hope that he will live in a house with other children like him, under medication and people who will guide him.
I couldn't believe that. Mm-hmm. No, I was somebody who was thinking positive always. Mm-hmm. But what she told us, I couldn't believe that.
It was very extreme.
Yeah.
There was no in between. It was, this is it.
Yeah, this is it.
We found a school, but it didn't solve the problems. At home, it was hell. The relation between us was horrible. Everything, because, of course, that's the speciality of the devil, to destroy everything.
I remember the first time I saw her, she was just sitting there, and she was looking up at me like, what are you coming to do? Yeah, you know, this kind of view, and then... Apparently, I told her when she told me her son was autistic. Apparently, I just turned to her and said, "Well, God can heal that." And she was very angry at that time. She told me.
I thought, what does this man think that he knows it better than a doctor? Mm-hmm. Because we had for 3 years, day in, day out, doctors, tests. All kinds of tests they did with Desmond, and it only got worse. So I was confused, angry, because I thought, if this is true, what have I done in church all those years? And then he said, I have some great healing tapes from Miss Gloria Copeland. I said, yes. He said, just put them in your cassette. Just do this. I thought, this can't be it. This can't be true. Someone is speaking through a cassette and you get healed? But I couldn't stop listening. Because all the arguments I had why Desmond couldn't get healed, she was wiping them away. And the wonderful thing about this is that I could read it in my own Bible. Mm-hmm. It was not an American thing or a faith movement or something. It was just the Word of God. Yeah. My pastor said, Desmond, he will become whatever he wants to become. And he will do great in school. He will do great in sports. Well, this boy couldn't ride a bicycle when he was 7, 8 years old, except with extra wheels on it, and then he fell over.
He couldn't catch a ball. When you throw the ball to him, he did it like, and the ball was, he couldn't do that. No, nothing.
So from that day on, I only spoke positive. Mm-hmm. When he broke down my house, I said, oh, please, God, I thank you. I thank you and I believe. So I had to start myself up because I wanted to say something different. So I said, oh, please, God, no, I thank you, God. This will be a man who will preach your word in the future. He will become a man of God and he will be a great boy and he will be a fantastic son. And so I started speaking that. And what happens is that your inside is changing. I'm convinced if you want to have anything change, it starts with yourself. So it was not only Desmond who needed healing, it was this family who needed to be made whole again.
Mm-hmm. If you decide that the Word of God is true, then sometimes you read things you think that's strange, but it's true. Just do it. Mm-hmm. Just do it. And that's what Gloria Copeland says in the healing school. It's what they do is they tell about their lives also, how they learned it. And you can see it in your own life. And you said, yes, that's where we are now. Then they tell what they did. So
we recognize it.
Yes, we recognize it. We do the same thing. Mm-hmm. So it's not difficult. You have to decide if you want to do it or not.
I started to say to Desmond healing lines, and I asked him to repeat it. I was hoping for a miracle, but the strange thing is this. You believe in a miracle. You are sure that it's going to happen, but you're amazed when it happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this was about 2 years later.
Mm-hmm. 2 years later.
And he came into the house. He said, "Mom," I said, "Yes." "Can I ask you something?" I said, "Yeah, sure." He says, "Why did you put me on a school with all these strange children? They don't talk to each other and they don't look at you when you talk to them. And some of them are shaking on the floor." But suddenly Desmond saw that something was not right. And he was always like them.
I had the feeling that the ropes that was on my hand, that was controlling me to do things, just like a puppeteer controls a doll. I had just the same feeling, and when I was healed, the ropes, and they were cut off, and so it feels free. I can just great.
I ran to the phone and I called Adrie. I said, he's healed. I knew the miracle had arrived. Yeah. So we were so happy. So,
and I wanted to see it first, you know. Oh, yeah. but when I came home, there was a different Desmond. He was talking to you and he was looking at you, and that was different. You felt it, you saw it. Something was happening. Mm-hmm. Something happened. He was healed.
Amazing story again. Again, we're talking about autism. People, doctors say there's nothing you could do about it. He'll live that way. Maybe he have to be put in a home the rest of his life, all that kind of thing. God has a purpose for healing. They even said this healed our whole family. We came to Christ in a deeper way. The Copelands, Ken and Gloria Copeland tapes they used. How would a man know more than a doctor? Well, the man was Jesus Christ, and he's changed their life. Here's a lady who, from the Sid Ross Show, has an amazing testimony about her son. Listen to this one.
I coped in every way wrong. I coped with drinking and eating and overworking, and I couldn't believe that I was in this long nightmare. This is not what I had prayed for. This is not what I wanted. I wanted a little boy that would be the captain of the football team and a daughter that would be the cheerleader. I didn't want this rabid child in my house with no way to control him. And any professional that we went to, doctors, specialists, they all said the same thing. This is what he has. There's no treatment. There's no cure. He'll always be like this. And at one point, you'll have to put him in a home.
Now, something good came into your life. I mean, the way it was headed was pretty bad. You were, did you really face the fact that you'd have to institutionalize your son someday?
It took me a long time to come with terms with that, but I think women instinctively know if things are getting better or worse. And because he was so big for his age, I knew that I couldn't handle him. Because when he got upset, his rage was off the charts. He could not be controlled. When he was little, you could give him a toy or redirect. But as he got to be 4 and 5, he's much bigger and much older. And we had another child, and he was beginning to be of a danger to her. And so I knew that my options were limited, and those were that I couldn't keep him. I loved my child. I adored him, but I had no idea what to do with him, and I knew that we'd have to put him in a home.
So you were desperate. You're trying to drink.
Absolutely.
You were so desperate, you even went to a prayer group that helped you a little bit.
Yes.
What did they do for you?
We were directed by a friend of ours to a deliverance team called Gospel Revelation Ministries, and I signed up for personal deliverance, and I didn't know what that was. I grew up in a denominational church, but I knew that I needed to do whatever I needed to do to get to be the person that God wanted me to be so I could raise this handicapped child. So I thought, this is what God wants me to do. He wants me to be this great handicapped mother, and I'm going to raise this child, and then that's what I'll do. And so I went through deliverance, and where it identifies what's operational in your life, where there have been some curses, things that happened to me either by other people or by my own actions and words. And God set me free from all the things that had bind me up, and I was going to be able now to raise this child that God had given me.
Now, he also gave you direction on some things to do at home to benefit your son.
Absolutely. In the beginning, it wasn't time for, God didn't say it was time to take James to deliverance initially, but they did tell us to always play praise music in his room continually. Praise music is something the enemy cannot stand in the presence of, and that immediately changed his temperament. I believe that our children are tortured the most at night or when they sleep, and then also to anoint him with oil, to pray over him and seal this vessel that nothing could attack him or torture him while he slept. And that initially really changed him.
And then one day they said something that staggered you.
Yes.
About James, your son.
Yes. They said that they believed that they could take James through deliverance for autism. And I said, oh, that's not possible. If that was possible, it'd be on national TV shows. It'd be on the news. Nobody's ever healed of autism. And they said, that's what the Lord said. And so who am I to argue with the Lord? And so in January of 2000, they called and they said, God said, it's time now. And I said, time for what? And they said to take through James for deliverance for autism so he could be completely healed.
Now, was your faith level that something good was going to happen, or were you still pretty skeptical?
My faith level was that of my experiences, and my experiences were, I had been in churches, we had been on staff at churches, and my experiences were that most of the Christians that I knew were sad, unwell, and disappointed in their whole lives. I didn't know Christians that walked in freedom and wholeness and wellness, but I had a little tiny glimmer of hope that just maybe, not for me, but maybe for this boy, that God would show up and do what he said he would do.
We're talking about autism. God is in the healing business. These are people, all these stories are about God and deliverance from autism. If you can't deal with the doctors say, put him in a home. That's not it. God has a purpose for all of this. Listen to the second part of her story.
Your son, James, had autism.
Yes.
And it was, tell me how bad it was.
It was.
It's some of the worst things you remember.
I remember some of the worst things were the words that other people used. I remember his special ed teacher, who was wonderful, but she said he was a monster. He was so bad, he had to have his own aide just for him in class. We had Any Baby Can, took him for a day a month, MHMR in Texas. We had 20 hours of straight respite. He was out of control. He would make himself vomit up to 50 times a day.
Was he verbal? Did he speak much?
No, probably 20 words, mostly pointing, cup, hot, no. Like a 2-year-old.
And he was stuck there. He had tantrums?
Oh, he had tantrums all the time. He was inconsolable, insoothable. There were never beginnings or endings to his tantrums, and you never knew what would cause them. And so we did everything to pander to him, to keep him calm, to keep him happy. We would play videotapes nonstop an hour, but he would eat. He was eating our house. He pulled up the carpet. He ate the foam under it. He pulled the wallpaper off the bathrooms and ate that. And, you know, you begin to live in this bubble. It becomes your truth. And it becomes this little war zone. And you want to protect it because it's your family. But it was unbearable.
Well, let's take a look at what his doctor had to say about him.
I saw James the first time a few years ago, about 3 years ago, when he was about 3.5 years old. I got to tell you, it was a little shocking to me. I've seen a lot of various diseases, conditions, behaviors. But little James, I got to tell you, took the cake on this one. He was exhibiting erratic behaviors, uncontrollable, inconsolable, frantic attacks, tantrums. He was quite pale, non-verbal, grunting noises. Total lack of attention. I always like to believe that I feel there is unlimited hope for people in their conditions. But with James, the severity of his condition, the bizarre behavior, I mean, I couldn't help it. I thought, this guy's going to be institutionalized for life and nothing can be done for him. Of course, then I thought, well, you know, maybe some tests haven't been done. Maybe he's got an electrolyte imbalance. Maybe there's a tumor in his head or something that could account for these unusual conditions. But I got to tell you, at the onset, I thought, there's no hope for this guy.
Sid Roth here with Karen Mayer Cunningham, and we're discussing your son, James, and a group of people that pray for spirits to come out of people, demons to come out of people, said to you, it is time. What did you do about that?
Well, I moved on that. They have they're a group that have a specific gifting, and I believed them. I believed in their anointing from God, and so we took him in February 17th, 2000. It was a Thursday at 4 o'clock to our church, and we were just in one of the Sunday school rooms, and James sat on the floor and began to rock, and he wanted to go, and go, and get going the door. And so the team had my husband pick him up and hold him, and they just laid their hands on his back and prayed that the first demonic curse would go in Jesus' name into the dry places, never to be here again. And my son reached his hand back and screamed, come back, come back, come back, come back, come back.
When you were watching that, what did you think?
I thought, I cannot believe this. I cannot believe this just happened. It was so real. He'd never said the word come or back. And he was screaming out.
That's right. He wasn't verbal.
No, he was screaming out for the thing, begging for that thing that was leaving him to come back. And at that moment, we were all changed. The manifest presence of God was so heavy and so humbling. And I believe that God did that because he had every intention of healing him. And he is completely healed.
Now, but immediately, I know there were gradual things that occurred, but immediately, could you tell a difference in what was it?
He was marked a difference, and the first thing he was...
Again, God restored the child to normalcy. Autism can be healed. It's deliverance, getting the evil demons out of him. Amazing. We got to take a break here. We'll be back with more stories like this in the second half. This is Third Day singing Cry Out to Jesus.
You believe that there's nothing and there is no one who can make it right. And there is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary.
If you're in St. John's County at 95 South, there's a crash right at around County Road 210. I-95 North in Emerson, another accident. And at I-10 headed toward downtown at mile marker 344, there's a broken down car. Clear tonight with an overnight low of 42 degrees. Tomorrow will be sunny, and we're expecting a high of around 65.
And to all of the people with burdens and pains, keeping you back from your life. You believe that there's nothing and there is no one who can make it right. And there is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary.
Welcome back. This is John Beener. You're listening to Inspiration 316. Today we've been talking about autism. What a lot of doctors are saying, nothing you can do about it, no drugs. Thank God there's no drugs for it. But anyway, there is deliverance and healing. If you need any kind of healing, there's a wonderful ministry called Christian Healing Ministry, nonprofit organization based here in Jacksonville for 38 years. And they are known worldwide, but they have their offices up off 67th Street, I think it is. Up near I-95, and Judith and Francis McDuff founded that many years ago. Francis was a Catholic priest. She was a therapist and counselor, and they met in Jerusalem, believe it or not, both Americans. And anyway, they got married, had kids. He left the priesthood. They founded the ministry, and there are hundreds of volunteers. They do conferences around the world. They do them here locally. I've attended some of them, and it's inspiring. You want to be free of issues. God has a purpose in healing, physical, mental, spiritual, inner healing, stress, deliverance, all these things. Dr. Gil Weiss is a pharmacist who believes in natural things. He has his own ministry, too, helping people resolve their health issues naturally or even with pharmaceuticals if necessary. But I urge you to look up both of those. They're both on the internet, Dr. Gil Weiss and ChristianHealingMinistry.org. They've been blessings and we're blessing them. They're not technically our sponsors. They're just people we want to support. autism is the issue today. Doctors are saying there's no solution to it. There's no nothing they can do, you know, put them in a special school, try to control them, you know. They beat their heads. They can't look at you. They don't talk. They act like spastics, and it's a problem. This is in kids. It can obviously, I think by the time they become adults, they pass away. But the autism, here's a healing testimony by Chris Gore at Bethel Church. He's a pastor out there. Listen to this story.
I met Hope about, it was probably about 18 months ago in Florence, Kentucky. And Hope had a severe level of Asperger's, and she was just not socially adept in any way. And I was doing a conference there. I was actually ministering with Georgian Banoff, and I was in a hurry. I'd finished teaching, and I needed to fly out the door to catch a flight. And so I think from memory, I kind of like taught and then ran, and I told them I had to leave immediately after. And this lady, she has this daughter called Hope, and so Hope's autistic, and she said, "Man, I really," she said to herself, "I really wanted Chris to pray for Hope." And the Lord said to her, "We'll chase him." And she said, "I'm not chasing any guy, you know, I'm not chasing a man for a miracle." And the Lord said, "Well, you'll miss out." The Lord said, "If you want your miracle for Hope, get him to pray." And so she ran out, and I had my bag in my hand, and I'm just ready to jump in the van to take him to the airport. And she said, "Chris," she said, "could you please pray for me?" And I said, "I'm sure." And I put the bag down, and I said, "Look, I'm in a real hurry, so I'm gonna release something on you." I just put my hands on her, and she told me her daughter's name was Hope, and I said, "I just release peace. I release the shalom of heaven into Hope right now in Jesus' name." And that was about it. I said, "Bless you, got to go." I said, "Go home and lay your hands on your daughter and release that." Now, shalom in the original language means the spirit that destroys chaos. So she went home and she laid hands on Hope. And I believe that Hope was she was asleep at the time. And she lays hands on her, and she just says, "I just release the shalom of heaven through you, Hope." And from that, I don't understand this, and I'm not going to try and understand it because I just don't understand. But from the next morning, they came into the conference. From when Hope woke up, she stunk, absolutely reeked of dead fish for a number of days after her mum prayed. I'm not even going to begin to explain what I think it is. I have no idea, but she stunk. And they came into the conference. The conference was going on the next day. She comes into the conference and they're registering for the day. And the lady at the checkout said, "Man, have you got a rotten sandwich, fish sandwich in your bag or something?" You know, I mean, like everybody could smell. She's just detoxifying something out of her. I don't know. And anyways, Hope has now been mainstreamed into a main school. Within 2 to 3 months, she's mainstreamed into a main school, getting A's and B's in every subject. And Hope was incredibly dysfunctional in relationships and incredibly scared of the rain and thunder. And when it would thunder, she would go under her sheets in her bed and hide under a bed for 5 to 6 hours at a time and just not come out, just not connect with anybody. And little by little, the mother kept emailing me because she noticed that things had changed. And one day, tremendous rainstorm. They'd moved to Kansas in the meantime, and when she's in Kansas, had this tremendous rainstorm, and Hope came out of her bedroom and she opened the front door and she watches the rain and she goes, I used to be scared of this, I don't know why. And she's watching it, and then there's this flash of lightning, and she said, "That used to scare me as well, I don't know why, it's all over in a second." And they had a babysitter come in one night to look after the kids, and the babysitter was not that familiar with the family. And when they came home, the mother said to the babysitter, "If we were to tell you that one of our kids had been severely autistic, which one would it be?" And they guessed the wrong one. And I got such a heart to see autism fall. I hate autism. It is not from God. The child is a gift from God. The condition is not. Let's not mix the two. Right? The child is a gift from God without question, but the autism is not. And I want to see autism come to an end.
Again, that's Chris Gores. Bethel Church is out there in California. I'm trying to remember, Redwood, California, I think it is. Anyway, he released the peace on the mother, and she went home and released the peace on her daughter. Wow, is that a story and a half? That is amazing. She's totally normal. The thing is, shalom means peace, but yeah, evidently in the Hebrew, it means spirit that dealing with chaos, I wrote down. I think that's what it was. But anyway, it's exciting. God is in the healing business still. He is taking away autism. It's not a physical disorder. It's not even like cerebral palsy. It is spiritual. And it can be, God can remove the spirit of evil that's in the child. It inherited or comes on them, whatever it may have been. It even could be a curse as well. Here's another story. Mother refuses to accept autism diagnosis. It's another miracle healing. Listen to this one.
And after I practice the song a couple times, I'm able to play it.
At just 11 years old, Roman Scott is a gifted pianist. Ricardo Matthew, his piano teacher, agrees.
The talent that Roman has, it's a God-given talent.
Perhaps what's even more amazing is that for 3 years of his life, Roman struggled with PDD, pervasive developmental delay, a form of autism. His parents, Tom and Elizabeth, realized something wasn't right when Roman was 14 months old. Besides his inability to talk, they had other concerns.
He constantly choked on food. He rolled his hands around in circles. And he fixated on ceiling fans, flags, and lights. And he started running laps around our family room. A lot of laps.
Elizabeth took Roman to Dr. Jacqueline Longshaw, a pediatrician at the Pediatric Southwest Clinic in DeSoto, Texas. Roman was now 18 months old.
Roman was not really talking, and he was very defensive about being touched. And so initially, I had a lot of concerns about Roman's ability to get better.
When they said the word autism, I was terrified and I was devastated. That is a cup that I just did not want to bear because I knew how difficult that could be.
My first reaction was of concern, but at the same time, in the back of my mind, there was a calming feeling that somehow after time that Roman would outgrow it.
Elizabeth and Tom began praying daily for God to heal their son.
I was praying to God and asking him, please, please help me with this and please help my son to get better.
It was something that was bigger than me and bigger than my family could solve. And I was just prayerful that God would handle it.
Meanwhile, Roman needed full-time speech and occupational therapy. The insurance didn't cover the $80,000 to $100,000 a year it would cost. So Elizabeth quit her job, and with the guidance from a therapist, she began working with her son 10 hours a day. She developed 90 different activities to help Roman with his motor and sensory skills. It was a daunting task.
I would tell him, you have to do this, and he would tantrum, and I would stand over him in timeout. And there were days I just have had it. I just did feel like I was going to give up.
With each passing day, Roman started to overcome his challenges. Elizabeth continued to pray every day. After 2.5 years, almost all of his symptoms were gone, and it seemed that Roman would be symptom-free. Then, without warning, he had the worst tantrum he had ever had. Over the next 4 days, he couldn't be consoled.
He was like, don't touch me, I can't, I don't know you, you know. And he was just crying and screaming, and I just thought that was the end. I thought we had lost him for good. And I said, why now? He's almost there. He was almost healed. And that really brought me to my knees, and I was terrified.
She totally surrendered everything to God, including the possibility of her son never getting healed.
And I said, Lord, whatever be of your will, help me to learn to live a new way. This is the life that you have for him. And I will love him, but help me to accept it.
Roman eventually calmed down, and Elizabeth resumed working with him. Then, on his fourth birthday, she and her husband took him to the doctor where they heard the news they had been waiting for. Roman had no more signs of autism.
I remember just crying in the car. I said, so this is it? He's finished. You know, you need no more therapies. That's something only God can do. Only God can heal like that.
It's been 8 years since Roman was first diagnosed. Today, he's still symptom-free.
He had 45 different symptoms, and after 3 years of intensive therapy with no medication, Roman was symptom-free. Looking at Roman today, no one would diagnose him with autism.
Roman has excelled in every area doctors thought he would never excel in. In fact, he's in the talented and gifted program in public school and is at the top 5% of his class. His favorite subject is technology.
In our technology club, we take apart computers, reconfigure and refurbish them.
Dean Alan Anderson of Summit International Preparatory School had this to say.
Immediately upon meeting him, I knew that he was something special. So Roman is a straight A student. He is very cordial, very friendly with me, with his classmates.
Elizabeth and Tom believe their son's healing is a medical miracle. They know the things that played the most important part in Roman's recovery was prayer and trusting God to do the impossible. Elizabeth has written a book and a companion guide of activities she taught her son during his journey of healing.
Today, when I look at Roman, he's everything that I could have imagined and more. You know, he has surpassed all my hopes and dreams.
It's really rare for having a child recover from autism, especially an autism that was as severe as mine. Only God could do such an awesome thing.
Even though people don't think it's possible, with Christ, all things are possible. And I am eternally grateful and so thankful for what he's done.
Wow, is that amazing? We're talking about autism again today. The doctors say there's nothing you can do about it. No drugs, no nothing. You have to live with it. They put your child in a home, do a special school. And there's a lot of people out there doing a lot of good things. You know, they're dealing with the physical issues, the manifestations. They're dealing with nutrition. You know, obviously they're dealing with little cars to help kids read, flash, regain their memory, all that kind of stuff. And the problem is getting worse. It looks like there's 2015, there were 25 million kids with it. That number is almost doubling every couple of years. I think the numbers are way up in the 70s or 80 million right now. But anyway, the problem is, or the issue is, that God is in the healing business. He could take away these things. I remember my mom say, when I asked her about demons one day, and she said, Johnny, there is no such thing as demons. That's cartoon stuff and Halloween stuff. Well, I found out facing a demon one day that that was not true. And it totally changed my life, flipped me on the inside out. God came in and intervened and brought healing to me. But it is what they're saying, that the truth about autism is, it's about deliverance. It's about the need of having godliness inside the child. It talks about in the last days. I pulled up some of these scriptures here. This is in 2 Timothy 3, but it talks about there will be terrible times in the last days when people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, self-controlled, brutal. It just keeps going on. But these are some of the characteristics of autism. And so God is in the business of changing people from the inside out. Bringing the Holy Spirit into a child starts to bring healing, and the enemy doesn't want to live in that environment, so he's going to flee, particularly when you cast him out. Now, the pastor talking about the right kind of prayer to cast out demons and deliverance from a child who is unruly and unfit. I mean, we had a tremendous story of a woman with cerebral palsy and lived to be in her, I think, 18 or 20 years old, with that spastic type behavior, you know, cried out to God, you know, given her life to Christ, and finally God sent her to a pastor who laid hands on her, and she received total healing right there. She lives today and tells the story, testimony. We've used it on our show a few times. It's powerful. It's inspiring. Anyway, let's go to another. This is another healing story of autism. Again, this is the gospel truth. This is about Andrew Womack's ministry. I don't know if he's really a pastor or not, but he's certainly a great teacher. He's out in Colorado, but he does conferences and events around the world. And this particular couple were desperate and had a terrible problem with their son. Most autism is with boys rather than girls. So listen what they had to say.
I was absolutely terrified of them taking the children away. But I was also terrified that I couldn't go on. And that's when I cried out to the Lord. I said, if you don't help me now, I'm finished.
The incredible pressure, the incredible trauma that you undergo as a family. You have to watch your children, the things you love most in the world, battling not just with the curse that they've got, but also being rational enough to know that they've got it. And it was those periods in which Debs found it the most hard, in which she had the darkest days. And it was during one of those dark, dark days that she watched the Mother's Day program.
They were all mums talking about their kids, and they were showing snapshots and pictures and talking about which ones are doing what at school, and they were chatting. And it just hit me like a sledgehammer that what I'm experiencing and what they're experiencing are just so different. And I was weeping, and then I said, you know, why don't you help us? I had been asking God help me for years, and I said, I love my boys so much, and you're supposed to love them more than me. Why have you done this to them? And I said, I would die for my boys. And that's when he said, I already did. I was so stunned. I just shut up. I stopped crying. I just looked into the fireplace and I just stared there. I thought, that really wasn't my thought. That was Jesus talking to me. And that's when I knew that they were all right. And I thought, well, he'll heal them. I just sat there and stared at the fireplace. The tears went, the pain went, the anxiety went, the fears went. Everything that had worried me over the past number of years, it was like a huge load was just cut away, and I was free and I felt light. And I just sat and stared into that fireplace. And from that moment on, that despair, that terror, the anxiety that I had lived with was gone.
When Timothy went to the school that was funded by the state, it was a really huge thing for us, but we felt that he was actually quite capable of doing it.
And as he progressed and as they increased the number of hours he went, he was up for it. And I believe that the healing just took place gradually as and when his world opened up and became wide and he needed to cope with more and more things.
It's almost as if he was covered in scales. He was covered in the scales of autism. And over time, those scales have been peeled away.
And I was saying, Lord, please send me someone to help me. I know you're healing my boys, but I don't know what to do. And that was where we were at when my mum phoned and said, watch Andrew Womack. He's got some healing testimonies and you've got to watch it.
And we all watched it together and it was just extraordinary. And even that, you sit and watch it and you think, well, is it really true?
We had missed the beginning of Hannah's story, but we came in and from where we saw was enough to see what had taken place with Hannah's story. And the bit that struck me and was when he said, piece of cake for Jesus.
Piece of cake for Jesus?
This is a piece of cake for Jesus.
And this smile crept across his face and I was like, that's awesome. This guy really believes this, doesn't he? You know, and that faith on the inside of us rose up.
So Father, Jamie and I just agree. And we thank you that by the stripes of Jesus, Hannah has already been healed.
It just, my faith just rose up inside of me. And I thought, yes, he's talking about my God, my one. And that's when Christopher jumped up and went to check out the website.
We researched Hannah and her story, and we found out about Hannah's grandparents and Hannah's mum and dad going to live in, I think, in America, and the grandparents going to the college in Warsaw. It didn't just have an impact on Hannah, it had an impact on this incredible family, and they were all, they'd all experienced it, and they'd all gone through this process. And again, you're then thinking to yourself, wow, you know, maybe this is all true, maybe this is really happening. And from that point on, started to watch Andrew Womack every day, but we bought all his books, or as many books as we could get, started to record his programs, watch him on the internet, and we started to build up a kind of trust, I suppose, in what he was saying, and in what he was saying we could have.
And he shouted from the study, he's going to be in Warsaw in 2 weeks. So I thought, well, we'll just have to pray about it. So I phoned Andrew Womack Ministries and I spoke to a woman there. And I told her the situation. I said, look, we want to come. We want Andrew to pay for our sons, but we just need some help to get there. And I remember she said to me, what can you believe for? I think we can get there, but I'm not sure that I can exercise my faith enough to see us getting into the building. So she said, that's fine, we'll get you there, and if we can't get them out the car, we'll send a prayer team to the car. I thought, yes. She prayed in a way that I had never heard before, and it was great, it was authoritative, it was thanking God that it was done, it was commanding, and I thought, now we're talking. I have not heard this kind of praying. And I was so thrilled, I put down the phone and I said, she said that this is going to happen and this is going to happen and we're going to sleep and he's going to eat. And Christopher was like, yeah, she's never met my son. And for the next 2 weeks, I made a calendar counting down. This is when we're going to go and stay in a hotel. And he would cry every time I said it's another day. And when I said, no, we're going, he'd get in the spinning chair and he'd spin and spin and spin. And he'd refuse to come out for hours sometimes. But the day came and he wept and he wept and he physically was trying not to get into the car. It was hard work. But I just sat down and I prayed about it and I said, Lord, they said that he'd be able to get in the car and that he'd be fine and that you'd calm him and comfort him and all would be well. And so we're coming. And it was amazing because he just smiled up and said, okay, I'm ready, let's go. And we strapped him in and he sat there. Christopher and I just kept looking at each other and sort of holding our breath. It was amazing. We booked into the hotel and he was bouncing on the bed. He was really excited, like this is an adventure. And once again, Timothy was like, he couldn't believe it. And we said, okay, we're going to go and eat at the Kentucky Fried Chicken that the Terradez has ate at. So we were off to the Kentucky Fried Chicken. And that's when Timothy ordered himself some popcorn chicken. We didn't know what to order James, so we thought, well, we won't bother with anything because if we offer him food and he doesn't like it, he starts heaving. Sat down and he looked at the food. There was no heaving. There was no watery eyes and that he would normally have with cooking smells. He sat there. He looked at the popcorn chicken. He said, what that? And he said, it's something called popcorn chicken. He said, oh, chicken, chicken. And he had one. Mmm, he said. He said, Timmy, mine. And he ate. And when he was finished it, he said, more, more. He ate a second lot. He probably ate more than I'd ever seen him eat in one sitting, ever. He ate the chips, he ate the chicken. And we, Christopher and I, were just laughing and said, it's a miracle and we haven't even got there yet. And it was an answer to prayer. It was what she had prayed was happening.
Again, we're talking about autism. What a miracle story. Again, the child got healed. Andrew Womack prayed for the child. We don't have time to carry the rest of the story, but Andrew Womack has Charis Bible School here in town in Jacksonville. You need to look it up. The Christian Healing Ministry can deal with the same thing, deliverance, dealing with spiritual issues, overcoming autism. That's what we've been talking about today. God bless you. Have a great day and be inspired. Thanks for joining us. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to the Inspiration 316 show with John Beaner. Join us each weekday at the same time. If you want to share your testimony, listen to past shows, or get a free book, visit us at our website, www.inspiration316.com.